Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Solar Records Radio. This is your boy Wardell Potts Jr. and my brother Phoenix. We are here together, and thanks for tuning in to This Is It. Phoenix, are you there?
Absolutely, brother, like cheese and toast. It goes well
cheese
together.
Cheese and toast. He's always been a comedian, right? Oh, my God. Wow. Cheese and toast, y'all. Well, anyway, how you been, man?
I've been excellent, bro. You know, I hear a lot of people use the expression that they're blessed, and I try not to be assuming, but I feel blessed because of what we do as gentlemen on the radio. I feel blessed to be able to have this platform to speak to people, to be alive and breathing, man, amongst so many things going on in the world with wars and pandemics. It's always good to take stock and say, hey, you know what? Life's not so bad after all.
After all. Hey, man, I love that. And I'm truly grateful as well for the opportunity to do what we do and, you know, to have the show every Tuesday and just share out, you know, and try to make a difference. And, you know, I have people like Greg and Astrid in our corner, and I wear Greg out all the time. I poor guy, I'm always saying, Greg, what about this? Greg, what do you think? Greg, what? And he says, leave it to me, I'll figure out. So I wear Greg out, and he's so, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you can lean on somebody and not feel like you're leaning on them, because they don't make you feel that way. They allow you to live on them.
And I'm thinking too, man, you know, life always begins, isn't it interesting, with a conversation. You know, wars ensue because the conversation breaks down. Relationships and marriages dissolve when there's no communication, but they're built upon a conversation. So to be able to have a platform to evoke thoughts through conversation is one of the few things that has been given us as free moral agents to do, is to use our power of speech in a positive way. And I think that's the beauteous thing about this whole scenario, you know, bro. It really is.
Yeah. You know, also, you know, it's, you know, we just had like the most amazing last week for me, because it's the spirit, it was the week about spirituality it was about our Savior's walk and his doom but at the same time our blessing. And so it was an emotional roller coaster ride, because one minute, you know, you're excited about Palm Sunday, like, you know, the King is coming into Jerusalem, you know, our Savior, and then next thing you know, they're plotting to kill him. You know, and they were plotting to kill him. And then finally, you know, Good Friday came, and I had Pastor T. Meyer McCain come on and talk about, you know, what that was about. And you know, what Good Friday is about, because some people feel like it's a conflict, you know, when people say Good Friday, but he died. And I share with my friends, you have to read the scripture so you can understand what that means. And even he died, but he died. Once he died, we were able to live. And so he died so that we could live, and so that we could go back and be with our Savior. And so
that was the purpose of him. You know, it was funny because Peter tried to cut his ear off, the assailant, and he had him put it back, his sword, to the sheath. And he said, that's what I come here for. I came here to die so many shall live. And Friday for me, I don't call it Good Friday in my spirituality, but Friday sundown was nice in 14, and that's something that a lot of people are not aware, because Jesus was a Jew, and so he did not follow our Gregorian calendar. We follow the Gregorian calendar, which is interesting, which was based on Catholicism and Catholic monks. But Jesus was a Jew, so he followed the lunar calendar. And so Nisan 14 was the first moon, and the first sundown was the day he actually died. It actually was on Friday this year. Mm. So that's what I commemorated, the memorial of his death. And like you said, what does that mean for us? And it's a humbling and sobering thing to know the torture that he went under, the deceit. Ooh. Sedition. Ooh. The man didn't even do anything wrong.
I know.
Sedition?
Good
Come on,
gracious.
Man. And by his own people, you know, they
exactly.
You know, his enemies and Caesar. And I love the expression of Caesar. He says, I wash my hands, which a lot of people don't know where that expression comes from. It comes from the Bible because, you know, Caesar Augustus was like saying to the governor, wait a minute. I see no fault in this dude. Guess what? I wash my hands of this. He didn't want no parts of it. And he wasn't even a Christian. So that's,
you know,
that's what was amazing. Caesar was trying to back out of it.
Right. And what's really amazing is that, and guys, I hope you guys are hearing this, because it's really important, because we're not just talking about Easter or Good Friday, but we're talking about also, just think about it, the people that hurt you are the people sometimes the closest to you. And you got to be careful, you know, with that. You know, I mean, this is so many times. Look, we just think about it, and we don't really talk about politics, but in our politics right now, the people that are in our politics, they're fighting against. We're fighting against each other. The Democrats and the Republicans can't even get along, and they work for the same government. They hate each other, so we have to be careful. Even and also, I remember. I think it was Bin Laden. Somebody said that they're going to get the people that take care of us to destroy us. And they were talking about our doctors, the ones that we trust with us to take care of us. So you have to really be careful about, you know, what's actually happening in life, because it's the ones that sometimes, but that you got to pay attention, because they come from any direction.
Hey, bro, be careful how you eat. Be careful how you eat. Be careful how you sleep. Birds of a feather flock together. Bad association can spoil your useful habits. Love the ones you're with. All of these things are words of wisdom that help us to congeal or come to terms with. You know, you. One of the things that constantly comes out of these discussions are paying attention. It is worthy of underscoring that the life you save may be your own. You know, when certain things happen spiritually, Jesus is not coming for churches. He's not coming for groups of people. He's coming for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all responsible. So don't hide behind your pastor, your minister, your spiritual association. We all are free moral agents. And we're accountable and responsible for our own actions. And it's a sobering thought, because, you know, it's the times we're living, I think, should force us to look at our involvement, our participation. You know, there have been so many psychologists that have done studies on the group participation. You know, if you get a crowd of people, and you get an instigator, and you get a bunch of people yelling and screaming, before you know it, you have an angry mob, and they don't even know why they're angry. They're like, well, he's mad, I'm mad too.
Or, yeah, I mean, and the same thing with running. And, you know, one person take off running, all of a sudden, they don't know why they're running, they just start running too.
They've done some studies. I really kind of like that kind of stuff. There's one thing I want to share. They did this study at a mall. It was so funny, bro. They put up this velvet rope in the middle of the mall. And they put one or two people that were staged to get online. To nowhere. Do you know what happened? This social experiment? People started lining up.
Wow.
And they're one behind the other. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30, 50. And people were like, well, what are we standing online? And so, I don't know. He's still standing online, so I figured I better get online.
Exactly.
And it helps us to understand the human condition. And so the antidote to that is to pay attention, to ask questions, to be palatable, to be flexible. You know, today's topic we're talking about, talking to people as a friend to expose maybe an imperfection of theirs, right? And if your motivations are illegitimate, if you are not kind, you know, we're living at a time, bro, where people are so triggered, but a kind word spoken at the right time is like silver carvings. So it all kind of fits into the puzzle of the human endeavor. What do you participate, and at what level are you participating in? Or are you sitting on the bleachers? Or are you in the game? Are you a part of the movement? Are you a part of a social structure for change? Because it starts with you. You know, we can point fingers and blame our, you know, congressmen and all these people, but we the people, right?
We the people.
We are the people. We're the people.
Yep,
and,
right.
And individually, we make up a group. And so if we all start to try to work on those imperfections, then overall, it does change the complexion of the masses. But
yes.
It starts with us.
So I just want to, you know, go into this with you. You know, when you have a friend, someone you care about, and, you know, and you love them, you know, and it's like you see that they have a problem. But maybe they have an attitude, but they also have an attitude problem on top of it. And so you like them. You don't just like them. You love them and you want them to be okay. You want them to be better. Right. So then you have to, and you see that they have a problem that's going to destroy them. And so do you choose to go in and take and share this thought with them at the risk of losing them as a friend, or do you just stay in the background and pray about it and wish and hope that it just goes away and say nothing and still take the risk of losing your friend?
Well, my dad, I considered him a wise man. There were probably three, what I would have called geniuses in my lifetime. One happened to have been my father. One and two of the other members are members of the group Cool in the Gang. One, we lost Collies. I have to say that he was a genius. Being in his presence, here's the guy that wrote Celebration. Most of our audience members know Celebration. He wrote
Cool
that
in the Gang.
The guy was a genius, and he could break it down, and he was a teacher. Well, my dad was a teacher as well. And one of the things that he said on the subject, he said, a true friend tells you the things that you need to know, not the things that you want to hear. And what's interesting about that, sometimes in the responsibility of being a good friend, we may witness something. We may be in a social setting, and maybe our good friend is acting out, or maybe he has an alcoholic problem, and he just really gets out of wound. A good friend is one that will protect him. A good friend is one that might pull him off to the side and say, hey, man, let's get you a cup of coffee, man. Let's take a walk outside. Because he becomes your protector. Now, there's a tremendous amount of foresight that has to be used, and I won't diminish that. There's a tremendous amount of, savoir faire. You have to be tactful. But a true friend, in my humble opinion, which was given to me by my dad many, many years ago, is going to tell you the things that you need to know, not the things that you want to hear. Because sometimes friends say, oh, you know, man, you're the greatest. Oh, man, that was her problem. Oh, man, that bartender needed a punch in the mouth because I didn't like him either. As opposed to saying, hey, buddy, you got a little out of pocket. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
you would drink the drinks like it was going out of style. And that's not really what the bartender said. The bartender said, hey, buddy, I think you've had enough. And you flew off the handle and you punched him. This is just as an example.
Right.
So, you know, here again, in my humble opinion, you know, it's a tremendous responsibility to be somebody's friend. And it's not always the thing that you want to be in a position. Sometimes you're in an awkward position, but to me, that's the true test of friendship. Is to be able to listen with an open ear, to be kind, to be thoughtful, and to try to find the antidote. But to turn your back and say nothing is kind of difficult for me to swallow.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Well, you know, I've had friends, right, that I felt that way. Like, if I said something to them, it would cause a big problem in our relationship because they would think that I was judging them. And I knew that they were like that because I saw how they responded to other people. And so I had to try to figure out, it was a battle for me. It was a war. And I was like, I'm not going to let the devil win this war. I'm going to get to my friend in a way that I don't lose him as my friend. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he gets the point and that he hears it coming from me. And so what I would do is strategize. And this is, you know, I mean, I don't always do this, but sometimes it calls for it. And I really, it was like a war. I was just in a spiritual warfare. And I knew I needed to figure out a way to get to my friend and to help him to recognize that he had an issue. And it was, and he needed to fix it. He needed to pay attention. And so what I did was I kept talking to him about other people and other things, you know, and so, you know, about similar things. And so what I was doing was softening him up to the idea that I'm talking about this and I'm talking about these different things, but I would share with him how much I love them and I want them to be okay and I need them to be okay. But see, this was how I really felt. But at the same time, I had to share this information with him that I wouldn't normally share with other people. But that was the only way I could cut through this ice that he put up. Like, no one can come through this. I mean, he was had that armor up there, and he was cold and hard. And so, but what I got when I was able to tell him these things, and he was able to learn my heart a little bit more without me directly telling him what I was doing, I was just sharing to soften his heart so he could be open to hear what I had to say. And eventually I was able to say it, but it's really about our approach, and we have to be careful if we want to, you know, you got to look at what you're dealing with before you just go in and start saying things to people, because you can offend them. And so it took me a while to get to him. And then when I did, and he was so caught off guard, but at the same time, it was nowhere near as bad as it would have been if I would have just came out and told him, because he had already been going having these conversations with me about other people. And
there's an interesting expression in the Bible. I always, at first I didn't understand, but the expression is called long suffering, that we should have long suffering. And it's interesting because they make the correlation. If you've ever, and I'm sure you had the opportunity to see a mother and a child, a mother goes through 9 months of labor. She gives birth to a child. She brings the child home. She nurtures. If she's breastfeeding, I saw my wife get all kinds of ulcers on her nipples to the point that they were inflamed. But she kept nursing my son. And, you know, they put the Pampers. Oh, the child makes some, man, the child can do some things.
Oh, yeah, we know. They can blow up the room.
But she suffers through the duration until the child grows up and goes to college or gets married. And so the expression is noted, duly noted, long suffering. And listening to what you had to say in concern to your friend is a process of long suffering. You suffered because he didn't know it, but you were going through your own private war in your mind. When to approach him, how to approach him, didn't want to lose him. But your goal was to suffer long with a view to an end. See, a mother says, okay, I'm going to take this child on, this suckling, this baby, these nasty Pampers, them screaming and yelling, I can't sleep at night, bags under my eyes. Today my son graduated with honors. I suffered long. And so she's the one that cries at the ceremony because she suffered long with a view to an end. And I think it was beautifully illustrated with you. And I recently had a situation with a friend of mine, and he went off to tell another friend, a female friend of mine, that he said, well, Phoenix gave me a tongue lashing. and to not to get into all the gory details, but he was going to another state, and there was a young lady that was helping him, and he felt that it wasn't his particular kind of woman. But from the inception of me hearing of this particular woman, I knew that she was a quality lady. And I could tell she even cried at times when he had certain situations that didn't fall into place. And I kept telling him, I said, dude, this is a good woman here. Don't take her for granted. And he said a few things to me. You know how boys will be boys. And, you know, he said some pretty crass things to me about what he had intentions on doing with this individual. And, bro, I took offense to it. I couldn't hide it. As a man, I have two daughters. Obviously, I have a mother. I had a grandmother. I've been married twice. And no matter what, I revere my relationships with those women that have held that position in my life. And so here was a friend talking real crap about a woman that was helping him. And he claims to be a Christian, and I had to, like you say, backpedal and say, well, you know, you mentioned that you're a Christian, you know. These are things that you need to consider, that these rotten sayings don't come out of your mouth. Because if you want these blessings, you have to control the sayings that comes out of your mouth. And, bro, it wasn't easy. But I did eventually get my point across. And just before the show, he texts me. And guess what? The union between him and this particular individual has merited him a huge overseas contract. And I said, see?
Wow.
This particular woman was in your corner, dude. You know, you don't kick a gift horse. You know, I don't care what your thoughts are on an individual. But when somebody's trying to help you, man, oh, man, oh, man, relish it, because that's like a diamond. You know, somebody wants to help you. You don't slap them. You thank them. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And so it just brought out that thought in me. And just before the show started, he texted me to let me know that things are happening to his, you know, benefit. And it's all because of this woman. And I said to him, see? I told you this lady was in your corner, and she worked like a slave helping him put certain things together with no money down. But typical male, you know, he was like, oh, man, I'm going to do this. Oh, man, oh, she ain't really the one. I said, man, don't say that.
Yeah.
She's your blessing. And look what happened.
Amen. I have a want to read something from overseas and listeners. And then I have a question. You have to choose to be either a friend or just a cheerleader. And so mm-hmm. I want to. My question is: Do you have to choose to be a friend or just a cheerleader?
Well, my takeaway: those are two distinctive things, and maybe they can coexist together. But when I think of somebody being a cheerleader, it's somebody who stands on the sidelines and cheers the winning team as opposed to the opposing team on. And I think some friendships are based on that. I think, yeah. So certain times, you know, like my dad says, sometimes your friends, they don't really want to hear what you have to say. They want their ears tickled by you. They want to say, man, you're doing a great job. Or sister, boy, that dress really looks good on you. But a friend is somebody that's going to say, no, I don't know about that dress. You like that dress? Because really she's saying, you know, this dress kind of makes you look like a hoochie mama. But I'm not going to tell you that. But,
well,
you know, you're going to meet.
I'm sorry, Phoenix.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm trying to say is a real friend is not going to cheer you on if they know something is wrong. They might bite their lip like you did, and they might take a back seat for a minute and wait for an opportunity, like you said, to soften that person's heart. That's timing. But I think to be a cheerleader sometimes is a heck of a responsibility if what they're doing doesn't validate that. That's my take on that.
I hear you on that, you know, but this is the, you know, sometimes the weirdest part is like sometimes even not just in friendships, but just in relationships in general, whether it's marriage or whether it's friendship or whether it's buddyship or, you know, teammates. Everybody don't go into it the same way. Mm-hmm. In other words, some people feel like, look, we are married and we're married for life. That's it. I'm not even thinking that's divorce is not an option. We're going to work through whatever we have to. That's why we got married, because we knew we would be able to do that. And same thing with friendships. Sometimes friends just want you to be the cheerleader. They don't want you to tell them what's wrong with them and criticize them and love them in that way. They just want you to just cheer, to be the cheerleader, right? Just, you know, support me. That's all I need from, you know, because some people are not friends like others that may say, I love you. I love everything about you. You're my buddy, and I don't want to see you hurt, you know? And so you have that whole dynamic to deal with in these relationships with people. And so that's what makes it a little weird, you know, when you want to go in and tell somebody, hey, that's going to just, you got to know that that person has shared the same type of value that you do in terms of friendships, right? I can't just tell you that because I can't just say that to some people because their value in friendships are not the same as mine, you know? And so my friendship is actually one of those kind of friendships where people fall in love with me, because for the ones that are not, and I mean that in a beautiful way, the ones that are not so into a deep friendship, they just used to, you know, people just cheering them on, where I'm into a deep friendship where I'm more like your brother. I want to be like your brother, because, see, I don't have any brothers. So I want to be more like your brother. You know, when I'm close to a guy, we like brothers, man. I really care about you, man, and I want you to be okay. And if I don't feel that way about you, I won't get close to you. And so,
and you know, I think what you're explaining is there's different gradations of friends. There's friends,
right?
Like I used to tell
gradations
my children,
of love. Of love.
Yeah, you know, my son, well, that's my friend. I said, well, he's more of an associate, but that's not a friend. Oh, this is a colleague. That's not a friend. Or this is a business partner. That's not a friend. But a friend in need is a friend indeed. A true friend, in my humble opinion, you know. And once again, I'll shine the light on my dad, because I thought that he had really good words of wisdom. He said, you know, you're fortunate in your life if you have one good woman and one good friend. Now, some people have two and three, and some people think, oh, I got a lot of friends. But not really. One or two good, close friends. I mean, one of those friends that if you're sick, they're going to come across town and send you chicken soup. They're going to be there. Hey, if you really have a devastating issue or there's a loss in the family, they're there to help you, to give you that stab you need to get through. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of friend. And there's other friends, like you said, well, yeah, you could be on the sideline just being a cheerleader. But you may not know the members of the organization that you're cheering. Maybe you're a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys, but you don't know any of the players. You're just there to cheer them. So to me, there's different gradations.
By the way, let me just say something. You said something that really just triggered something. Okay. So this is the kind of friend, this is the difference between my kind of friendship or relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not about friendship. It's just relation. My relationships, rather, is with my wife, or if it's with my nephew, or if it's with my friend down the street. These are just relationships. Or if it's my friend overseas, these are relationships. This is how I apply. This is key for me, because you just said something and I'm going to respond to it. When football, I'm talking about football, right? So I was like, my team from Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles, they were doing so well, and then they won the national championship. They won the Super Bowl, and me, Wardell, I was so happy. And I'm in Texas, right? And then in Texas, it's all about the Cowboys. They don't hear nothing about the Eagles. As a matter of fact, they hate the Eagles, right? And so I'm here, but okay. So now I got my men's group that I talk to all the time, and they all excited. I'm excited. I'm telling them my team won, and they're like, you know, Cowboy fans, and they're trying to be like Christian, like okay, we're there, okay. And they're like, and then my nephews, right? And I tell them, hey, my team won. I said, I'm gonna have a Super Bowl party at my house, right? I'm all excited. And so I'm telling my nephew to come there, like, I'm not coming to that. I'm like, why? It's a Super Bowl party. Like, no. I hate the Eagles. I am not coming to the Super Bowl party. And I was like, I was so sad, because basically, oh, let me bring Don Fleming in here. And so I was really sad because they were not happy for my happiness. They were so caught up in their sadness. And see, for me, I would go to and support my friend or my nephew or my, you know, just somebody I care about, because that makes them happy. And I'm there for you. See, I'm trying to take care of our relationship and support you. But everybody's not like that. And I don't understand why the people were such, even my nephews did not come. The only people that came were the guys in my Bible study group, because they just wanted to support me. They didn't care about my team. They were Cowboy fans, but they came because they cared about me. And that's what I want people to understand. If you can just care about each other, not be caught up in yourself so much. And don't make it all about you. I see this beautiful quote from overseas that says, kindness comes before honesty, and action speaks louder than words. My friend's actions about showing up was so beautiful, and it made me so happy, as opposed to the negative words that came from my nephews that said, I'm not into the Eagles. I was so excited about these guys coming, and they're not my family. They're just my friends. And so, anyway, so that's for me, action is definitely the way to go. And I loved it when my friends showed up, and I'm still talking about it years later, because we haven't been in Super Bowl for quite a few years now. So I'll keep bringing that up for a while. How you doing, Don Fleming?
I'm good. How are you, man? What did I got the tail end of that? What's going on?
Oh, man. Phoenix, tell them what's going on. What are we talking about?
Well, you know, we're talking about friends. And I've introduced associates, colleagues, different gradations of how you might consider what a friend is. But I think one of the callers, you know, wrote in and suggested, would argue, a cheerleader within a friendship, which to me I felt was somebody that stays on the sideline and says what you want to hear. And we got on to sports. You know, sometimes friends become divided on sports teams, in the case of Wardell's scenario. But true friends abide and stand by you regardless. A friend in need is a friend indeed. And so we're kind of looking at friends, and we're looking at if you notice something within the confines of your friend. Let's say your friend is a staunch alcoholic, and when they get a couple of drinks and in public, man, they just act the daggone fool. You know, how do you approach them in a tactful way, or do you choose to look the other way? And so that's basically where the discussion is. The boundaries of the discussion has been
right
wrapped
and so,
around.
And what I was just saying at the very end there is that all friends don't love each other, don't care about each other on the same level. Some people are different types of friends. Whereas I will show up just to support my friend, even if I don't like something, whereas some friends won't do it because they more care about what they feel about, you know, themselves as opposed to how they feel about their friend. They, you know, they're not trying to support their friend. They only want to support themselves. And so we were like, so if you had a friend, Don, that was an alcoholic or a gambler or a drug addict, and would you approach him if you thought that it's a possibility that you would lose your friend, and tell him that he has a problem and that you want him to, would you approach him, or would you just kind of just stay in the background and just be quiet and just hope for the best?
My opinion is that if you are a true friend to that person and understand that, you know, these things are considered hurtful, you would want to have some intricacies of an intervention, you know, when it comes to, you know, because there's a health choice, there's a lifestyle choice, there's all of these things that are inundated in this person's life. As a friend, when you stand there, if you look away or you look the other way, then, you know, I just don't think
that's, I
don't want to sound cold about it, I don't think that's a friend.
That's right.
You are a true friend to that person, then you're gonna try to get that person out of that funk, out of that situation, or, you know, give your two cents or whatever, and you know, try to alleviate the situation. Because at the end of the day, that, you know, it may hurt, it may become a stressful time for both of you, even as a friend, even being that friend, it can be stressful. Because even if you hold it in, if you insulate that in, looking the other way, that may affect you. That may affect you psychologically. That might affect you health, from a health standpoint. You might get an ulcer. I've had this happen before. Mm-hmm. So
I have had that happen too. I was sharing a buddy of mine that was leaving the state of Nevada and going to another state. And I said to another friend, and I consider him a very close friend of mine, but I was kind of glad that he left, because carrying that emotional baggage with him, you know, he's a good guy, he's very intelligent,
we're in the same street together,
but that emotional baggage, you know, he's not, sometimes he's not too kind when it comes to the opposite sex. And I know sometimes boys will be boys, and they'll say whatever, and I'm certainly not holier than thou. I mean, I'm not an altar boy. But if I'm in the company of a male friend and I hear him derogatorily talking about a woman, I'm gonna indicate by my expressions, by my demeanor, and then eventually, hey, dude, that's not cool. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you know, blah, blah. No. I have two daughters. If I had somebody saying something negative like that about my daughter, I'm going to war. If somebody said that about my mother, I'm going to war. And I'm considering you a friend, but I think, you know, I think you're better than that. I think, you know, as a man, you know, even with music, and we can do a whole nother show on that, I don't want to create music that is going to be demeaning towards an opposite sex or a group of people. I'm personally not going to do that, because I think that energy comes back to haunt you. So if I'm in close as, you know, a friend, I'm not going to be your cheerleader. I feel bad being in your company and you're talking derogatorily about this woman. And I'm saying, I feel like I'm a part of it if I don't say something. Hey, dude, that's not cool.
Yeah, but you know, no. So, Don, did you have a situation like that?
He had to respect it.
Have you ever been put in a situation like that, Don?
Probably have. I have to kind of go back and remember, you know, my 47 years of life. I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when you have, when I talked about the ulcer, I said, look, there was times I've had, you know, friends and acquaintances that had their best friends, you know, give them ulcers because, you know, it was a situation that put them in a dire straits, in this dire straits, you know, the situation. I'm using the word twice, but I mean, it's again, you know, your health is what's important to you, your health and well-being, your sanity. And I understand there are certain limits that you can only do as a friend to that person. Like you said, like Phoenix just talked about, he's like, hey, this is my friend, but I'm glad he's out of Nevada. So, but, you know, there are instances that, you know.
Don't you feel like you compromise, you know, as a man who walks by faith and a man who walks by his own imperfections, but I try to embrace wisdom. I try to remain neutral. I don't get involved in controversies. I'd rather walk away and be the lone wolf. I've always been that way. I'll steer clear of an issue if I can. If it's unavoidable, I'm a man. Hey, if I got to throw down, I got to throw down. But don't put me, if I'm your friend and you know what I stand for, don't put me in a scrimmage where I have to tell you that's not what I do. You know,
right.
And my friends, they know me. They know I draw a hard, fast line. I've had friends of mine, man, take me to seedy locations, and they want to do this, that, and the third. And I go, listen, bro, drop me off. Oh, come on, man. Just hang out. No, that's not me. And
he
so
said,
I
no.
Have, like, you know, I love what you said. It's true. I can get a daggone ulcer hanging out with you. You know, I mean, I'm absorbing your negativity.
That's real. That's real.
Listen, man, I recently had a young lady. She said to me, she said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, huh? She said, you're in a situation and you're in a negative environment. And you know what? I needed to hear that, bro, because I didn't even realize it. So, yes, it can impact upon you with something that your friend or associate is doing. It's not even you. What do they say in legal terms? You were an accomplice. Listen, you didn't rob the bank, but you was in the getaway car. Oh, but I was just getting a ride home from school. No.
Yeah.
You were in the car with the guys who just robbed the bank. You're going to jail.
You're going to jail. You're going down, buddy.
You're going down, bro. I don't want to be.
You're like my fault. That's my bad. Mea culpa.
You know, my mom used to always tell me, when you see a situation like that, son, take your leaves. She says, I don't care what those other boys in school are doing. You take your leaves. And here it is. I'm a grown adult. Both of my parents are deceased, but I still follow that rule. Bad association spoils useful habits. And if my buddy.
They said, take your leave.
I take my leave. Yeah, I got to go.
Oh, wow.
I got to go.
I never heard that. Yeah.
I never heard that expression before. Yeah, they even say, you know, even if you're in a situation with a spouse or a girlfriend and stuff, you know, it gets to the level where your voices are being raised and you're no longer being intelligent in what you're saying to the individual. Take your leave. You say, you know what, honey? We've reached an impasse. I'm going to take a long walk down the pier. I'll see you later on.
I'm not
going to sit here and exchange blows with you because it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
And that's what my friend was saying. She says, you know, I've observed some situations with you, with this particular individual, and you're swimming in that. They're hitting you with negative energies. And I know that's not you. She said, I'm going to pray for you. I felt bad, Don. I was like, I thought I had it all together. But she chin-checked.
Right.
And I had to, you know what? I told another friend, they was like, I don't really agree with that. I said, no, she was absolutely right. I had to take my leave. Because, you know, the Swifts don't have the race, bro. I don't care how smart you think you are. We all are imperfect. We all fall short of God's glory. And if you're humble enough, and if you're willing to accept counsel, you're going to come out the better person in the end. But if you resist it, like, you know, we're talking about friends, and, you know, let's say your friend said, hey, listen, I need to talk to you, brother. Well, what's going on? Well, a lot of our associates, man, if you notice, they're kind of changing their seats when you come into the room. Well, what's up? Well, you know, I don't know how to put this, bro, but you got a body odor. And maybe you got a medical condition you didn't disclose, or maybe, you know, maybe you're going through something that's stressing you, dude. But, you know, we got to fix that, because you're my friend, and I feel bad that there's this conversation that's brewing around you, and they're talking about your body odor. I didn't want to be the one to tell you, but I got to tell you, because I'm your friend, and I love you, and I care about you. Sometimes there's just no way getting around it. Dude, you got
to
be
Yeah.
I don't know if you just came from the ballpark or what. You was playing a game or whatever. Dude, we got to fix that.
That's a tough conversation right there. That's a tough conversation, but I've witnessed that. I've experienced that, you know, with a couple people in my life, and it's like, whoa. And I never told them, but I'm glad, you know, that, you know, some people do have that hard conversation, because
And watch this, bro. Sometimes it's not even body odor. Sometimes, have you ever been in the company of someone who, and it depends on what neck of the woods you come from. I know Americans, New Yorkers, we're a little more standoffish, but, you know, if you go overseas and what have you,
you're in close quarters with someone,
and you're like, this person's got, like, breath that remind me of Bruce Lee because it's kicking. Now, I don't
you're crazy. It's kicking.
I don't know if it's,
something
you ate earlier. Do you walk away and not tell them?
Well, hold away. So this is the thing, like, in cultures, different cultures. Like, when I was in South Africa, they don't use deodorant. And it gets extremely hot. But this is what I was told, that the stronger a man feels, the more of a man he is. And I remember being in an elevator and about to pass out. I was like, Lord, somebody get some deodorant.
But I'm not strong.
Yeah, exactly. So we were in, I talked to a couple of the guys about it. We stayed in this mansion together. I was producing them, actually. And this one guy and his family stayed in the room across from my room. And so his wife and I and the kids, we all friendly and stuff. And so I was talking about it and everything with her. And then she said, yeah. Ronnie knows nothing about deodorant. He's never experienced using deodorant. And so I said, really? And so she said, yeah, because, you know, that's just the way he was raised. Now, she knew about it, but he didn't. So she said, talk to him. So I talked to him a little bit about it, and so I showed it to him and stuff, and he took the deodorant and started rubbing it on his upper arm.
Okay.
He really had no idea. And I said, no, not there. He goes under your arms. And he's like, oh, okay. And so, you know.
He needs baking soda, bro. At that level, you need the real
almond
hammer.
All you have to do is take a shower and put the deodorant on. He just needed to take a good shower and then put the deodorant on, because it's hot in South Africa. It's hot, man, and he is serious. And so he could clean himself, because he's fine in the daytime, but then late on in the day, after he's been, you know, going through it, and not just him, but that's how that culture is. And
I've experienced that, and I've had women tell me that they, you know, the stronger the scent of a man, that they found that attractive. And I said, well, I guess you ain't going to find me too attractive, because if I stick my two fingers under my underarm and I'm about to knock myself out, I'm going to excuse myself. Man, you smell. You got to get it.
Yeah. But that's the difference in, you know, how you're raised and stuff. So, and that was just part of their culture. That's how they were raised. And so, and that stuff becomes, you know, I mean, it's in your brain. You know, you're taught these things. So, you know, just like they were taught that blacks were you know, the Afrikaners were taught really bad things about black people. I mean, and I know some of those Afrikaners that were taught this stuff, and they ended up marrying a black man because they realized that their parents were lying to them, and they found somebody that they fell in love with that was black and stuff. So it's just all about culture as well, and it's also about how your parents raised you. And, you know, and we learn from our parents. Like, you constantly quote what your parents say to you. And they you're still following their ways. You're still following their ways, Phoenix. And, you know, and so, and I think that we all are product of our environment. So, anyway, guys, we only have about 4 minutes left. In closing, Phoenix, what would you, Don and Phoenix, y'all got anything to say in closing?
I think, you know.
Oh, man. Go ahead, Phoenix.
No, I was just thinking, being tactful, you know, truly loving a friend. I enjoyed your expressions, Wardell, in terms of suffering over a process to get to the point to soften their heart. Each situation is unique unto itself. We talked about cultures. It might be their culture. But you might be in America, like, what was that famous comedian? He said, this is America. Now, you're not in your place of origin. Now we're in the business environment, and we're trying to get this $1 million deal, and everybody's vacating the premises, and you're my buddy. I understand it's your culture, but here's some right guard. Let me help you out here. So, I mean, I think we're all accountable and responsible, and there's a measure of tactfulness, and we have to decide if we're going to be a cheerleader or we're going to be the guy that's going to be the bearer of bad news. Try to do it tactfully. Try to do it with a clean heart. And I think the Spirit will guide you.
Amen. Don?
Hey. Just to me, you know, again, your health is what's important at the end of the day. And my whole thing is, if you're able to find a way, not walk on eggshells, but if you are a true friend to that person, if there's something detrimental that may affect them and affect your friendship at the same time, do what you need to do at the end. Do what you need to do. Simple as that. Work it out.
Work it out. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, Phoenix and Don. And I guess Don's in early. We can remix it up here. And thanks, Phoenix, for, you know, just hanging out and sharing your words of wisdom, my brother. We appreciate you all the time. Look forward to Don. Phoenix will be giving you a call about something on Thursday. So, you know, y'all will hook up and let me know what's going to happen.
Okay.
If it's going to happen or not. Okay. All right, guys. So we get ready to mix it up. Time to mix it up here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. with my friend Don and Phoenix.
Looking good, mama feature. I've been in love with the feature. And on a scale of 1 to 10, you a number that the world can't comprehend. What you thinking, sangria? I see you moving ballerina. You take me higher than a plane. Got me tipsy on your love like sweet champagne.
Yeah. Trust me.
My Group Dynasty. Oh man, and I have an interview coming up this week. I'm going to be on Houston Radio talking to them about that song right there. So it's all good. It's all good in the hood. We're Dynasty is still doing this thing. We're not out performing live, but we are still out there releasing songs. And so that's what we're good at, writing songs. And so I guess, you know, we decided, let's just put songs up. And so that's what we're doing. But it'd be nice to get on the stage again and have some fun. And so I'm praying that day comes as well. Prior to that, you heard my friend Charles, and my childhood friend Charles and Eddie, who I grew up with. I wouldn't lie to you. Man, oh man, oh man. Now, you know, guys, that's a tough one, right? That's a tough one right there. You know, are you sure you wouldn't lie? Are you sure you're going to be honest? You're going to tell me the truth? Are you really going to tell me the truth? And we just pray and hope that people will keep it real, keep it honest. And so we opened up with Charlie Wilson, right? Charlie Wilson, from the Gap Band, lead singer, doing his own solo thing. And this was called No Stopping Us Now. And I heard that for the first time this weekend, Greg. And like you, I couldn't stop playing it. It was like, ooh, off the chart, man. So, but anyway, guys, I hope you're good wherever you are. I hope God is blessing you and keeping you. We are starting off a new week here on Soul Records Radio, as Tuesdays is the beginning of the week for me. And Don Fleming actually was going last night. So, but for me, this is the beginning of the week for me. And, you know, so a whole lot going on. We got Indie Jazz tomorrow. Our artist that we were going to have tomorrow was having some problems, so we will get them next week. But we're going to have a great time anyway, as we always do, playing some good music for you. And so we want to just make sure that we continue to pray for each other and look out for each other. And if you have to have that hard question or that hard conversation, I should say, if you have to have that hard conversation with a friend that's, you know, doing some things that you think is detrimental to, you know, to them, I think, you know, you owe that to them to have that conversation. But you just have to figure out, like, what's the best way for you and them. How can you do it in a way that's going to keep the relationship in a wonderful place, and at the same time, you're helping your friend to be okay in their situation? You know, that's what friends are for, right? We look out for each other. That's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. We're supposed to look out for each other. And I love loving my friends. And I love being loved by my friends. When somebody can pull me to the side and say, hey, man, you know, that's not cool. I don't, you know, you look kind of crazy saying that or acting like that or drinking like that or smoking or something, whatever, that shows me that they care about me, Wardell. And so I'm good with it. And and I think that we all should try to open ourselves up for people to be able to come at us and help us along the way. It's a beautiful thing. Life is good. It can be good. And we don't need to make it any more difficult by being having a bad making it hard for people to approach us, right? All right? Anyway, guys, so let's keep this going. We're mixing up the day here on Soul Art Records Radio. We got about another 46 minutes left in the show. Much love to all my friends around the world. What's up, Greg? How you doing, my brother? What's happening, Astrid? I'm glad you're getting better. We are praying for Pablo over at Dance Radio, as he came down with COVID, and he's having a very hard time. I mean, a very hard time. That's why we're mentioning it on the air. So we want to keep Pablo in prayer, okay? Just pray for him. You know, nothing specific. Just pray that God just blesses him and heal him, as he's going through a lot right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So come on, my man, Chick Corea, who I grew up listening to. Don't forget, we're mixing it up, so you're going to hear all kinds of different music.
Vic, Snoop, D.O. Double G. Hey, yo, Battle Cat. You know what time it is. It's time to do the we usually do. Let's go.
I'm feeling your electricity.
On the bridge there, singing his heart out. Rest in peace, Richard. I love you, brother. I will always love you. I will always love you. Man, oh man, I tell you, that was a fun little block right there. That was a song that I wrote with Richard, and man, he's gone. And, you know, it really blessed my heart. You're the kind of girl. And so thank you, Richard, for just being an amazing friend that you are. I love you. And I will always, always, you know, keep you close to my heart. You are truly an amazing person to me. You are always an amazing person to me. And oh, man, I love you, buddy. And so maybe someday we'll meet again. And but until then, I will keep the legacy alive here on Solar Records Radio with my buddy Don Fleming. That's how we do it. What's up, Mr. Don Fleming?
I'm good, man. I love you played that new Dynasty that I Can Tell, and that Charles and Eddie you played earlier, man. I love it. Love it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And then right before that, I played Snoop Dogg Coming Back. And that was and that was a remake of my song Keep On Loving Me by The Whispers. And what a great job he did. And just so proud of, you know, his work. You know, I'm happy for him and his new company that he's, you know, he owns Death Row now. And he's going to do it right. I
I pray that everything works out good for him. And so, and to have a song on his debut album as he's the CEO of the company is really a blessing for me. And Kevin Spencer and William Zimmerman. And so, but also, and then in the beginning of the block, I started off with Humpty Dumpty by Chick Corea. As we are mixing it up, and you know, we had to have some jazz in there, of course. We had
preview for tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. And so our guest that was coming tomorrow, like I said, there's some illness going on, and so we just want to pray that everything is okay, and then we'll reschedule with him, and then we'll have a good time with him, as he is an amazing musician and artist. And so, and you will enjoy. He was here. He's been here before. And so we look forward to hanging out with Andy next week. Hopefully next week. All right. So anyway, when I get back to the music here, Don Fleming, what's on your heart, my brother?
Man, again, it just I love the music that you're playing, man, and I'm not gonna mess up that. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're on the road.
Oh, yes. Thank you, man. Well, you know, hearing that from him, you know, he's the man. I'm chasing after Don, trying to be a DJ like him, but he's crazy. But guys, listen, so I produced this artist by the name of Glenn Jones. And Glenn Jones said to me, Wardell, every time I go to the UK, they tell us what to play. They tell me what songs they want us to play on the show. And they happen to be your songs. And I'm like, really? And so it's the sound of Solar that they really love over there. And so, we happen to be writers from Solar. So, but anyway, so here's a song that I wrote and produced for Glenn Jones. And so thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us as we're mixing it up here on Solar Records Radio. This song is called Meet Me Halfway There.
Friends,
'cause they can wait and see.
like you. You bring my spirits up, there's nothing that I can't do.
So she had this living sleep in
week, and we could chop it up here on Solar Records Radio. I'm going to check on Don Swimming and see how he's doing. Don,
are you there? Is that new music?
Yeah, that's Andy, man. He's he'll be coming on next Wednesday. So we're just praying everything's okay, and we're going to have a good time with him next week. Thank you and
okay.
Music, and just, you know, being blessed. So. But anyway, we ran out of time here. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say that was nice. Nice little cut. Nice little block you just had.
Yeah, bro. Thanks, man. Trying to be like you when I grow up, you know? Anyway, so you are good. Everything's well? Good to go?
Good, man. Good, man. Yeah, it's Tuesday. We're getting ready to wrap it up, man. And, I'm here out and about, but I'm glad to just hang out with you and just kind of have just a moment of some sanity because it's been a wild day today.
Oh, it's all good, man. We love having you hang out with us, man, and just be safe and do what you got to do, and God be with you. And you and the wife. And guys, we got 10 minutes left, so we want to thank you all for blessing us. Thanks, Greg, for hanging out and doing what you do. We appreciate everything you do, my brother. And just want to give a shout out to Andy. If you listen to the show, much love. Hope you're doing good and the family's well. And we look forward to doing an interview with you next Wednesday, my brother. So let's stay close. Let's stay in touch and do what we got to do. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on Solar Records Radio, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don Fleming, myself, Wardell Pice Jr. on Indie Jazz Day here on Solar Records Radio. So you guys be blessed and know that you guys mean so much more to us than we share. But we thank you for being the best part of Solar Records Radio. And we also want to give a shout out to just five new people that Greg just approved in the group today, this week. So welcome to Solar Records Radio, the group. Feel free to, you know, to post and share your thoughts and meet some amazing people. In closing, Don, anything else on your mind?
No, again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and just, you know, just kind of look out for your, you know, look out for your people. You know, the topic we had in the first hour is definitely, it definitely got me to thinking. And again, I just wanted to kind of just add that, you know, you got, if you're a good friend and there's something that's, that you feel that may be detrimental to that person as far as their well-being or, let them know. Be a friend. Let them know. So thank you guys for tuning in.
And sometimes people don't recognize that the situation is as bad as it is. They don't realize that others can see what's going on. It's like, what? Really? Man, thanks for saying something. I had no idea. Yeah, dude. You're getting out there. So, and it's all through brotherly love, you know, just loving one another. So, guys, take care. Ukraine, we're praying for you. And, you know, and we're praying for the world. We want peace, love, and happiness. You guys take care and listen to this song. Talk to you later. Have a blessing. All right, guys.
You fill up my senses like night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come let me love you, let me give my life to you, let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms. Let me always be with you. Come let me love you. Come love me
jumping in the water's warm and I'm all Just as